حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ونعم المولى ونعم المسير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. ما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. The subject that we are discussing in the last 13 days we've been here is Shaitan, Satan, and the ways and means that he uses to misguide people. And after seeing the attributes and qualities of Satan, the devil, and analyzing the assault of Shaitan on mankind, the different ways that he came to misguide. Just in these last 2 days, I want to conclude as to what is the way in which he has misguided people from the right paths. As you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat of the Quran about Shaitan, when Shaitan was asked, how would you misguide the people? He says, لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will stand for them, I will stay, and I will be staying on your right path, meaning I will live on your right path, on the true path. I will stay there and I will misguide the people. When they want to come to the true path, when they want to come to the right path, when they want to come to your religion, that's when I'll misguide the people. They think that they're worshipping you, but they're not. They will feel that as if they're worshipping you, but they will not, because I've already misguided them. And here, just to understand what this sentence means and how he has implemented that, is something that we need to know in order to protect ourselves from the misguidance of Satan and Shaitan. If you see, when Adam came to earth, the idea in his children that he wanted to teach them was that there is a God. By the time 9 generations after Adam and Noah came, now all the children of Adam were now grown up and generations had gone by. They did not believe in God. They did not believe in God. There was no such thing as God. The concept of God wasn't there. That's why you see, when Noah came, he was preaching the existence of God. He was saying, God is there. There is God. Believe in God. At that time, religion was just this, just believe in God. It wasn't about lawful, unlawful. It wasn't about any of these things. It was just about believe in God. Because the concept of God wasn't there. Concept of God wasn't there. So to Shaitan, his misguidance was to make the people believe there is no God. And that was his misguidance. And you see, look at Noah. For 900 years, he preached there is a God. And these prophets, Noah and those who came after them, until Ibrahim, all of them preached the existence of God. They proved the existence of God in so many ways. In so many ways, they proved the existence of God that now people, by the time of Abraham, you see, they believed in God. It was, meaning that the belief in God was now a common thing. Everyone believed there is God because the prophets worked to preach the existence of God. They said, God does exist. Allah does exist. And so, by the time of Abraham, you see, that's why we call him the father of Tawheed, of the existence of God, of the knowledge of God, because it was in his time that the concept of God was accepted as a common thing. Everyone understood by that time, yes, there is God. You see? So until the prophets were preaching there is God, Shaitan was misguiding people by saying there is no God. But when the prophets established the fact that God exists, that there is a God, then after that, you see, Shaitan now couldn't argue with the people, or he didn't want to argue with the people that he doesn't exist. See, it was useless for him, because now it's an established fact that God does exist. So if he comes to the people and say, well, no, he doesn't exist, right, they will laugh at him. That propaganda won't work now. So now what did Shaitan do? He changed his way. Now the prophets worked hard to establish God. Now he came to them and said, okay, you know, God exists, okay, granted, he exists. But who is he? Who is God? See, the moon is God. And people are saying, okay, the moon is God. The sun is God. Okay, the sun is God. You know? And so, they had, you know, he came to them and all he asked them is that, where is he? And if you look at this, this assault came at the time of Prophet Moses. You know, when Moses preached about God, so obviously there was God, but the issue was that, okay, where is he? Where is he? Right? And so the people of Moses told Moses, "Lan nu'mina hatta nara Allaha jahratan." We will not believe in God until we see him with our own eyes. We want to see him. And obviously the reason they asked for this also you need to know. Why did they ask for it? Well, because what happened is that all the previous prophets who came before Moses, they all said, God revealed to me. God sent me a revelation. The angel of God and came and informed me. You know, they said these things to the people. But when Moses came, he said, I spoke to God, or God spoke to me. So that, oh, he spoke to you. So we want to see him now. Right? We want to see him. So what happened is that, now obviously Moses was trying to tell them that, listen, you can't see God. He's not body. He's not matter. You know what I mean? But obviously that won't go into their minds. They say, well, if you speak to him, we can see him also. Right? We want to see him also. And then we'll believe in him. So then what happened is that he said, all right. You know, so Allah said, okay, why don't you bring those people with me? So he took a group of people to the mountain. Right? He took a group of people to the mountain. And there Allah says, Alamma ajalla rabbuhu dakkan wa kharra Musa sa'ika. Right? When Allah revealed himself and manifested himself to the mountain crumbled. Right? Now obviously Allah didn't appear. God didn't appear. He manifested his glory, his power, his majesty. I mean, Allah's majesty is such that if he reveals his majesty, then this creation of his will crumble in awe of his majesty. It won't be able to stand his majesty. Being in something, you know, it's like, for example, when you're in front of something so pure that your impurity comes out in you and you feel ashamed. You feel like in awe of something that is pure. This is Allah's majesty. When he reveals his majesty, the mountain crumbled and he said that Musa fainted. Moses fainted. And what happened to those people was so bad that it wasn't worth mentioning. Allah didn't even mention it in the Quran. What happened to those people? The issue was, again, these people, right? That these people wanted to see where Allah is. Now who gave them this thought? See, again, It is Shaitan who said, well, if Allah is there, then where is He? You should know also. You see how Shaitan is using. Now let me give you a clearer example of what I mean if you send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad.
Musa said to his people that, listen, Allah has called me, so I'm going to go to Him. You all stay here. And I will be back in 1 month. Right? After 30 days. So Musa went. He went to the mountain. Allah had him as a guest. And so the people were waiting. And for 30 days they waited. And Allah, He kept him for 10 extra days. And these 10 extra days was to test the people. When the 31st day came, right away, you see, everyone started doubting. What happened? He's not back yet. And Samri, he came forward and said, listen, Musa is dead. He's a prophet, he cannot lie. He said he'll be back in 1 month. He's already late. So it means he's gone. And so now what happened? What did he do? Okay, so what should we do? Well, we should still worship God. I said, okay, where is God? Who is God? So he made a cow of gold. Right? He made a cow of gold and he said, this is God. And they said, oh, this is God. Okay, let's worship Him. So they all started worshiping Him. Right? They all started worshiping the cow. Right? The golden cow. It was there. And he said, this is God. And look how he said it. He said, Hava ilahukum wa ilahu Musa. This is your God and Moses' God. The God of Moses. This is your God and Musa's God. So people accepted it. Now friends, just understand this. In the time of Noah, people didn't even accept God. If someone had made a cow of gold in the time of Noah and said that this is God, no one would believe him. In the time of Moses, they accepted this cow as God. Why did they accept this cow as God? Why did they accept it? If the concept of God did not exist, if the fact that God exists was not found in the mind and hearts of the people, do you think that they would worship a cow as a god? My friend, understand this. The only reason that the cow became God or was accepted as God is because the ideology of God existed in the minds of people. If the ideology of God did not exist, then Shaitan would not have made the cow as a god. The only reason the cow became God is because the concept of God is there. The prophets established God as a concept and as a common thing. That's why the cow became God. That's why the cow became God. So now you understand how Shaitan works. You see, when God wasn't established, he will work to prove that there is no God. But when God is established, then he will bring a false God. In other words, the way Shaitan works to misguide is sometimes he opposes religion to misguide the people. Sometimes he uses religion to misguide the people. His misguidance comes at first by opposing religion, by opposing God, by opposing faith. But then when faith is established, now he doesn't oppose faith. Now he will use faith in order to misguide the people. Now he says, oh, you believe in God. Well, here, this cow is your God. And because you believed in God, this cow became your God. You see, the cow became your God. My friends, understand this. This is very important for us to understand. Why does this happen? Also understand. And who does he misguide? You see, the people believed in God. The people believed in God. But the problem with the people is that their belief was not clear, it was not deep. See, when your ideology of God is vague, ambiguous, when you say that belief in God is a mystery, we don't know, we can't understand it, then that is where Shaitan comes to you and says, okay, let me tell you who your God is. Because since you don't know, let me tell you and teach you who is God. When your God is a mystery, then when the ideology of God is vague and ambiguous, then you're opening the door for Shaitan to become your teacher. Then he will say, the cow is your God. The monkey is your God. The snake is your God. The rock is your God. This idol is your God. Because your ideology is vague. If someone's ideology is vague, then they will always be misguided by Shaitan because you have left the door open for him to come and teach you. But if your ideology is clear, if you have analyzed the existence of God and proven God's existence, and you know that God is, you have the ideology of God is clear in your mind, then Shaitan can never come to you. The people of Musa, the reason they believe that cow is a god is because they, in their ideology, they believed in God, but they did not know that God cannot have a body. He cannot be made up of matter. Because they didn't know that he could not be made up of matter, so now this cow became a god, this human became a god, this prophet became a god. God, how can God be made up of matter? God created matter. He made matter. He made time. He made space. He is the creator of all these things. He cannot be affected by them. He is the one who made it. So if your ideology is clear, then he can never bring an idol in front of you and say, this is God. The only way that he can misguide you is if your belief is vague, if your ideology of God is ambiguous. If you have an ambiguous ideology of God, then you will always be misguided by Shaitan. Understand, this is how he misguides. He uses religion, my brothers and sisters. He uses religion against you. The very religion that you follow, he will use that against you. The very faith that you follow, he will use that against you. You believe in God, he will make it God for you. If you don't know who God is, he will make it for you, and you will believe in him, and you will bow down before him, and you will revere him, and you will adore him, without knowing that this is not God. This is what happens. So now what happened is that when the ideology of God was established, he brought about false gods. Then you go on from there. Because right now we have to come to the conclusion. So I'm going to race through all this history and come right to our Prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you see, before the time of our Prophet, being a Prophet meant that you were poor, that you had nothing, and that you were either persecuted or killed. That's what it meant to be a Prophet. Look at all the prophets, right? Allah speaks about the history of the prophets and what happened to those prophets and how the people killed those prophets, persecuted them, did all kinds of harm to them. You know, so obviously, if being a prophet meant that you're going to be a target, no one wants to be a prophet. But in the time of our prophet, being a prophet became profitable. Right? Meaning that you were the leader, you had a kingdom that you ruled over. You weren't a king, but you had people who followed you. You know, you were the leader of the area. You were the ruler. So obviously, it was profitable. By the time, you see the last prophet, because in his time, there was a rule that was established, and he was the ruler of the people. People followed him. So, other people looked at this and say, hey, being a prophet is good. Right? Being a prophet is good. And so you see, before our prophet came, you see there were no, you know, false prophets who came and said, we are prophets also. Because every time anyone would claim to be a prophet, he would be killed. No one wanted to be killed, so why would they claim to be a prophet? There's nothing in prophethood. There was nothing there. But when our prophet came along, and then you see the rule was established and he became the ruler, so now everyone thought that, hey, you know what, if I become a prophet, I will become a ruler too. So it was in the time of our prophet where you have false prophet who came forward, like Musaylimah, Aswad, and even woman by the name of Sajja, she came forward and said, I'm a prophet too, lady prophet. You know? Yes, they claim to be a prophet. If you look at Musaylimah, right? He claimed to be a prophet and said, hey, I'm a prophet. He wrote a letter to the prophet. Hey, listen, yeah, this is from Musaylimah, Rasulullah, meaning the Messenger of Allah, to Muhammad, Rasulullah. To Muhammad, Messenger of Allah. Right? And Allah has commanded me that you and me should share the power. 50-50. You know, you and me should share the power. And so, the Prophet Muhammad wrote back to him and said that neither are you the ruler, neither am I the ruler. It is God who is the ruler. Yeah, he is the ruler. What are you talking about? You know, so you had these people there, like Musaylimah. Why? He was a prophet and many people followed him. Sajja, a woman prophet, you know, and when she claimed to be a prophet, many people followed her. She had a following. You know, so now, you know, when she heard that Musaylimah has claimed to be a prophet, and he heard that Sajja was a prophet, you know, so they said, okay, let's meet. You know, and they had a meeting. You know, but he came and she came and they met. And she asked him, so you claim to be a prophet? He said, yes, I am. I'm sent by God. I said, you claim to be a prophet? She said, yes, I am also sent by God. You know, and she said, okay, you prove to me by reciting some ayat that Allah has revealed to you. You know, and Musaylimah is not a false prophet for nothing, he's not stupid. So he said, no, ladies first, you go. You recite some verses. And so she started reciting verses, you know. Right? I swear by the cow and the milk that it gives, and the whiteness of the milk, and the food that comes from it, the nourishment that comes from it. Isn't that some stupidity like that? Right? And so he was impressed. He said, yeah, now she said, now it's your turn. So he started reading his own verses. I swear by the stars, I swear by this, I swear by that, Baba, and all these things, some stupidity, he said. And both of them liked each other, so they got married. Salawat alaikum. My friends, the point is this. Right? Musaylimah, I mean, these idiots had followers. Musaylimah had followers. Sajja had followers. The question is, why are you following such people? Why are you following these idiots? You see, the reason that they are accepted as prophets is because the concept and ideology of prophethood is established. Prophets had worked to establish, yes, there are prophets. That's why false prophets come forward. Shaitan brings about false prophets and says, here, this is your prophet. This is your prophet. And you have followers who believe in such things. And the reason they believe that these people are prophets, again, is because, one, the ideology is established that there is prophets. But the reason Shaitan misguided them is because the ideology about prophethood was unclear. Who is a prophet is unclear. Who can be a prophet is vague. This is what they don't understand. If they understood that no one can become a prophet, but they are born a prophet, they would never be misguided. If they understood that you cannot be made a prophet, that you are born a prophet, that you can never be misguided by a false prophet. Why? Because you can always look back in history and says, what did you do as a kid? We believe that prophets are born prophets. Since the time they are born, they are infallible. Since the time they are born, they know that they are prophets. Since the time they are born, they cannot sin. This is the reason that when you look at someone who is a prophet, then you can look at his whole life and you will see that it is in the obedience of God. It can never be out of the obedience of God. Anyone who claims to be a prophet, you can say, okay, when did you become a prophet? Oh, I became a prophet when I was, 40 years old. So how many eggs were you cooking before that? You look at his whole life is... You see that? If you believed, if they had believed that a prophet cannot be made a prophet, but he is born a prophet, then you know that. This is why, for example, the prophet said, "Kuntu nabiyyan wa Adam bayn al-ma'awatin." I was a prophet when Adam was between water and clay. And someone asked Imam Ali that. He said, "Is it right that Rasulullah said this?" Imam Ali didn't say yes or no. Imam Ali didn't say yes, he was, or no, he wasn't. All he said was, "Kuntu waliyan wa Adam bayn al-ma'awatin." If I was Wali when Adam was between water and clay, then don't question the Prophet. And understand this, my friends. Those who are representing Allah, Allah has sent them with guarantee of their character. Their character is Islam. And if you believe that, then you would know who can be a Prophet and you can look for the right one. But you see, I want to tell you this. If the ideology is vague, then you will always be misguided. You will always be misguided because you're opening the door of shaitan. He will come to you and misguide your vague ideology. That's why those who are faithful, those who believe, they have a deep understanding of who is God, and they know exactly who can be God and who can be a prophet. And when you know exactly what that is, then you can never be misguided by false claimants. Those who claim to be false prophets and say, "Oh, I'm a prophet." But if you look at their life, it's full of sins. This, my friends, this is how you know. Right? So now, after that, you see, was Imam Ali. My friends, did anyone claim to be an Imam at the time of Imam Ali? Not Khalifa. Right? Leave Khilafat alone. Imam. Because that was different. Anyone who said that, "Oh, Imamat is good," because Imam Ali was the Imam, and all the people saw was his home was broken into, his door was burned up, right? He was handcuffed. So looking at the situation of the Imam, who wants to be an Imam? No one. In the time of Imam Hassan, did anyone claim to be an Imam? No one. In the time of Imam Hussein, did anyone claim to be an Imam? He was killed, his family is killed. Who would want themselves and their family to be killed? No one wanted to even get close to what Imam had. Leave that alone. Right? Let alone claiming to be an Imam, no one wanted to even help the Imam. Right? Understand? It went on until it came to Imam Bakr and Imam Jafar al-Sadiq and Imam Musa Khan. You look at that time. When you look at that time, yes. In that time when the Shias were all over the world, and Khums was coming in, and there was money, and the Imams had money because all the Khums was coming in. So now you see people claiming to be Imam. You see, now you see people claiming to be Imam. Right? You see Abdullah Yaqtahi, right? The same Imam Jafar al-Sadiq saying, I'm the Imam here, give me your Khums. Right? Now you see false Imams. Why? Because until Imamat was being persecuted and killed, no one wanted to be Imam. But when Imamat became profitable, when Khums was coming in, when money was coming in, now people want to say that, yes, I'm the Imam also. You got Jafar al-Kazzab and you have all these people who claim to be Imams. False Imams. Who brought them there? Again, Shaitan is the one who brought them there. And the reason he brought them there is because the ideology of Imamate was weak. Again, people didn't understand that you cannot just become an Imam, that you are born an Imam. If that is the case, then you would know that he is the Imam. But because their ideology was vague, Shaitan came in. Because Imamate was established, now everyone claimed to be a false Imam. Understand this, I'm just going step by step. Now understand, when Allah, when the ideology of Allah was not there, so there were no false gods. The moon wasn't God, the sun wasn't God, the cow wasn't God. In fact, there was no God. Noah was trying to preach to the people, listen, there is a God. No one says there's no such thing as God. Right? When the ideology of God wasn't established, there was no false God. But when God was established, when the ideology of God was established in the minds of people, then false gods came out. And Shaitan misguided people by false gods. When prophethood was established, Shaitan brought about false prophets in order to misguide people. When Imamate was established, Shaitan brought about false imams to misguide the people. So you understand this. Shaitan, sometimes he opposes religion, sometimes he uses religion to misguide the people. This is how he misguides people. So when the idea of Allah was established, then you have false God. When the idea of prophets were established, then you have false God. Then when the ideology of Imamate was established, then you had false imams. You had false imams because the idea of Imamate is established. So every time, wherever, whatever faith that you have, whatever is the symbol of your religion, if it's Allah, if it's prophethood, if it's Imamate, whatever is the symbol by which you recognize religion, Shaitan will use that to misguide you. Shaitan will use that to misguide you. So if you understood from this, now just let me add one more thing. And tomorrow I'll explain this more. Let me add one more thing so I can explain this more. Now in our time, neither is prophet there, neither is the Imam in front of us. What is the symbol by which we recognize religion? Who is in place of the Imam? Who is there that we recognize religion? My friends, now in our days, neither is the Imam is higher. Prophet is not there. So what we have in front of us is the ulama. What we have in front of us is the maraji. What we have in front of us is the marja. So now, if we understood how Shaitan disguised through prophethood and imamah, then the same way that he has made false prophets, false imams, he will make false maraji. False ulama who will come in front of you and say, we are maraji. Why? Kunz is there. Simple as that, my friends. And here, when we speak of maraji, oh, how can you say marja is the brother? There are false prophets. What do you think is more muqaddas? Nabuwat or marjaiyat? What do you think is more muqaddas? Imamat or marjaiyat? My friends, understand this. Shaitan is nobody's fool. Right? He is very, very, very smart. And he will make you think in something so big that you think nothing can happen to this man. No, he will bring a false one in front of you. And he will put it there. And this is what we need to understand. Why? Because we never understood. We don't have a clear ideology of what marjaiyat is. What it means to be an alim. And I'll explain this tomorrow. Who an alim is? Who is an alim? Who is naib imam? When he says naib imam, who is naib imam? You know, what is this? Naib imam, what does it mean? It's vague. Naib imam, you know, someone, you know, that. What does it mean? This term is there. We have this term. But we need to know what it means in order not to be misguided. In order not to be misguided, my friends. Otherwise, Shaitan has already misguided us. Just like he has brought false prophets and he has brought about false imams to oppose the imams, he will bring false ulama to oppose the real ulama. This is what he does. This is how he misguides people. He uses your religion against you. And you think that you are getting guidance from here, but you are actually getting misguidance. You're being misguided by the same thing that you're thinking that you're being guided. Those people who went with those false Anbiya, I mean, they were thinking this is the Nabi from Allah, Rasulullah, and they're following him. But they're being misguided. Those who went with those false Imams, when Imam Sadiq was there, when Imam Musaq Kazim was there, these people came around and said that. There were people who went after them, misguided, because they were thinking they're following the Imam. Just like that. Now, if you see one alim come, another alim come, and this and that, you will see that. If you don't know who an alim is, then you have already been misguided. You've already been misguided. We need to know who an alim is. And where do we get guidance from? And if we are vague on that and ambiguous on that, then we will be misguided. We need to be that smart to know who is a true alim and who is not, so that we cannot be misguided. Inshallah, I'll conclude that tomorrow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Use the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Salawat.